Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, a show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Van Weven. Alongside me, as always, is the man not known as Steve, Mr. Spencer Williams.
Not Chicken Jockey.
I don't know how I feel about that. Speaking of chicken, we got with us also intern from the last episode. We had to put her on a performance plan, and she has since then worked out her, I believe she's worked out her nervousness. Intern Sarah.
Hello.
Yeah, like I said, we're working on it. And new to the show, a brand new intern ready to start with us. He's just flown in from God knows where, and he is ready to put the work in. And that is intern Jesus.
Hello.
What is up, Jesus? You excited to be here?
Very, very. I'm so excited to talk about this movie.
We're working on we're turning ourselves into like a youth center at this point. So we got a great show in stores. We're going to be talking about the recently dropped and very much talked about Minecraft movie called A Minecraft Movie. We'll dig into all of our opinions and thoughts and let you know how we feel. But before we do that, Spencer, give us some opening credits.
Tune into brand new episodes each and every week.
Week!
Now on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at filmlosophy101 and also on Blue Sky at filmlosophers podcast.
That's right. See, I had to wait because last time you did that, I didn't expect it, and I talked over you. So
yeah.
That's right. We got a website. If you head on over to our website at filmlosophers.com, there we got allegedly over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, thrills, and chills. If you're looking for it, we got it. Head on over to our website at filmlosophers.com. You can also check us out wherever podcasts are streamed, and that's iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeart, Amazon Music. Tune in to your heart's desire on any one of those platforms. Look for us there at The Filmlosophers. Give us a like or a subscribe. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review. We've earned it.
Yes, we have.
We'll give you the social links at the end of the episode. This is a special episode where we are gradually continuing to grow the Filmlosopher family. So bringing in another intern, Jesus, we all go back quite a ways. And so having Jesus here on the show is actually a pretty fun treat. So Jesus, why don't you let us know, like, so what makes you, and mind you, this is probably should have been questions we asked the interview process.
But yeah.
What makes you the prime candidate to be a Filmlosopher intern? Like, what is it about movies and stuff that you like?
Well, I don't really just like go to watch movies. I do enjoy kind of breaking it down and seeing where it's coming from, especially series and trilogies with stuff like A Minecraft Movie. You know, the game's come a long way. It's been out for almost 2 decades, I think. And so, you know, just reviewing all the lore and everything inside, breaking it down.
Has it been 2 decades? It
came out 2007.
Listen, I don't need you hitting those facts in my face like that. That's upsetting.
So outside, it is. I'm just going to blow past that. Outside of, like, obviously your passion about the Minecraft movies is kind of the catalyst that had us bring Jesus onto the show. And ultimately, through the conversations we had, we thought, hey, you know, if you want to intern for us, you know, there's no pay and you get berated with all sorts of things, but still the opportunity to share your opinions. Like, what are some of your other favorite films that you like that, you know, make you stand out as a movie lover?
Actually not many. I'm kind of like your niche movie goer, but I do really enjoy movies that are so bad they're good.
And yes! Just, yes! Join the party!
Thank you. Not many people like those, but I love movies. They just
Let
suck
me tell you amazing. About this film series called Real Shorts. No,
go ahead. Oh my God.
We're coming back
No, no, no. Okay, come on. Well, now that you said that, what's one of your like most favorite, like, so bad it's good movies?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, Spencer, Napoleon Dynamite.
This literally came up last week. Yeah. I didn't watch that.
We talked about this one. Okay, like, what other bad movies do you like? Like, what are, if you were to pick 3 movies that you were going to have a full weekend just to watch movies, eat Takis and just, you know, veg out, what would be those three movies? I don't want answers that you think we want to hear. I want to know the true answers. Like, what are some of your real answers?
Actually, I kind of got to think here. It's been a while since I've watched really, really bad movies, but probably.
And not just bad movies, like movies that you like. Again, the bad movie thing, Spencer, is a very niche thing. So, yes. But as far as just movies in general, like for instance, like, and I'll give you a little bit of time to think while I give mine. Like, if I were to just pick three movies right off the bat, ridiculous and silly, but I would honestly have to pick Street Fighter. the original, not the whole remake with what's her name from Smallville.
Forget that exists.
The Legend of Chun-Li, I think it was called, or something.
Yeah.
So the original Street Fighter,
right,
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
And Sarah, what's his name?
Why am I blanking on it?
Raul Julia. I tried to give you a second there. There you go.
No, because
so Street Fighter's one. The second one would probably have to be, and mind you, it's a long movie, so it'll probably take all weekend, but the original It TV miniseries. So it's a like almost 3-4 hour movie.
How dare you call that bad?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, it's like, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
I didn't say bad movies. I'm just talking about what are they called? Guilty pleasure type movies.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
You're putting it next to Street Fighter?
Yeah, it's not going to make sense, but if I have them available, I will watch the heck out of those. And then obviously the last one probably has to be the Iron Giant. Like I would get my fighting in, I got my horror in, and then I got my feel goods in. So what about you, Sarah?
For feel good movies.
No. This is just guilty pleasure movies. If you had access to all the movies in the world and it was like, okay, you could pick three movies to watch in a given weekend, you know, order some pizza, have some, you know, pizza rolls and whatever. What would you pick? Sounds like you need more time. Did you figure yours out?
Yes. It's for a first movie, kind of moving off topic from all the comedy stuff. Good Will Hunting.
Hey.
It is actually one of my favorite movies.
Really? That's a surprise.
I love Good Will Hunting. I think personally Matt Damon's performance in there was really something.
Okay. How about them apples? You see that?
The second movie, an amazing movie.
By the way, that's a line from the movie, just so you don't know, Spencer.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Good Will Hunting?
How about them apples? That's such a generic thing. People say that all the time.
There's a reason for it. There's a reason.
They said it before that movie.
But there's a reason. No, this movie is what made that line. So the whole premise of it is, you know, there's this girl that they're talking to, him and Ben Affleck are talking to in a bar, and this guy who's from the local university tries to like out knowledge him. Matt Damon shows him up and they get all embarrassed. They walk away and walk off whatever, and they're talking. He ends up getting her number. They find them later at another place and they're like, hey, do you like apples or something? And they're like, yeah, why? And he slams her number on the window and goes, how do you like them apples? And that's the scene. Mind you, underrated movie. It's a little old, from the mid 90s, but still Robin Williams, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, you know, what was it? Not Jennifer Connelly. What's her name? Minnie Driver's in it as well. Robin Williams, stellar performance. You know, a lot of the therapy scenes are great, but sorry, go ahead. Continue. Spencer looks like he's already tuning us out, but
no, I was just checking because I found like there's actually some articles from like the early 1900s that reference that phrase.
Articles?
Yeah.
We're talking about movies.
I'm talking about the origin of the phrase. 1930. You're trying to say like this movie.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying it doesn't.
I'm not saying they owned it. I'm just saying.
Well, that's what you made it sound like.
Go ahead, Asus. my gosh.
So that's great. Listen, Spencer, we're not all as old as you to go back to the 1900s.
How dare you? Oh. I'm not even the oldest person at this table.
Sure, Spence.
Wow.
No, but for a second movie.
Something with HR against you now.
Hey. Is it because I'm a minority, Spence?
I'm a minority. Don't you start with me right now.
All right. Second movie.
Yeah, second movie. In a great tournament. SpongeBob, the SpongeBob movie. The first one. Where they're
the very first one.
The very first SpongeBob movie.
With Scarlett Johansson was still trying to do the little things to make ends meet. She plays the princess in this one.
Is she? I didn't know that. I actually looked at the stalling.
Like, did that not sound like Scarlett Johansson?
I don't.
Oh, and then what's his name? Ugh, I forget his name. The actor who plays the King Triton. He's a well-known actor too, but yeah, there's a number of different things that go on in there. Okay, the SpongeBob movie, the first one. All right, and your last one.
For like comedic relief, I actually really did like Bullet Train when it came out.
Ooh. Oh, okay, yeah, that was a good one. Really good one actually. Okay, cool. Yeah. I like your choices. Thank you. Spencer, you have yours or?
Yeah. Okay. So, have to go with my favorite movie, Back to the Future.
Yes. Hold on. First you can Okay, but you can't pick 1, 2 and 3 to be your three movies. Just so you know.
I would love to.
I was just realizing I'm like, crud. I just threw this softball to him. But okay. So the first one's
one of them would be one of them. Anime movie has to be Castle in the Sky.
Ooh,
one of my favorites.
Yes.
Then we have to throw in like, you know, a So Bad That's Good movie for me, and that's going to have to be Bloodsport.
Ah, oh, that's a good one.
Meet me at that Kumite.
That is a good one. Oh my gosh. I was like, in my mind, I was like, I need something that's like very late 80s, early 90s. And I thought about Street Fighter and something clicked. And I'm like, I was thinking maybe it was Raul Julia. But then I was like, nope, it's definitely a Jean-Claude Van Damme whole thing. Mm. And I'm like, well, I guess that's as good. Because it was either that or Roadhouse. But but I was thinking about it. And I'm like, okay. And then you said Bloodsport and my entire brain lit up. The neurons were firing like, that's what you should have picked, you idiot. So good choices. Yeah, Kumite. You can't go wrong with that. Although intern Amy speaks out about it constantly. Remember when we did that review of Bloodsport?
Yes.
And it was like a constant comparison about everything that was military. It's like, come on. This is not even that legit of a movie. All right. Since we've gone all the way around and the second person honestly couldn't go, now are you ready to go?
No, I'm ready to go.
All right. Intern Sarah, what are your three guilty pleasure movies?
First one has to be Lilo and Stitch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Second one would have to be another animated movie, Meet the Robinsons.
Ah, okay, okay.
And then
I'm seeing a pattern here, but yeah, okay.
Okay.
No,
that's not a bad thing. It's your choice.
I'm like, oh. And then my final one, like,
Are you using your letterbox? Your letterbox?
Yeah, because there's a lot of them where I'm like, I could turn it on and just be like, like, and have food, eat, and then just like, not really like turn off my brain and just like enjoy the ride, but like, no, but really, actually, kind of. And re-experience the movie.
So what's your last one?
My last one probably will have to be, because I've seen it so many times this year for school, and I forgot how much I like it, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, that's a good one. Who was the director for Lilo and Stitch?
Lilo and Stitch, I think he's, it is Chris Sanders, who did Wild Robot and How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, those are good picks. I like those picks. Those are really good guilty pleasure picks. So, but well, I'm glad you're a part of the crew, Jesus, and I'm pretty sure you're gonna be able to give plenty of knowledge regarding this movie as we dive into it. But that does bring us into our conversation of the evening, and that is our take on the recently dropped film by Jared Hess, and that is a Minecraft movie. This movie has been talked about quite often as far as, you know, video game films. And mind you, in the arena of video game movies, video game adaptation movies, there's not that many of them and even fewer that are good.
Yeah.
So when it comes to this particular one, obviously us gamers really have to put, you know, the magnifying glass to it and really see how well does it stack up.
Don't, because there's so few.
You know, But then, if you don't, you get things like Postal by Uwe Boll, and you know
don't
how.
Remind me you that know, exists.
Just saying. So, before we dive in any more, Spencer, why don't you give us that official synopsis goodness?
A mysterious portal pulls four misfits into the overworld, a bizarre cubic wonderland that thrives on imagination. To get back home, they'll have to master the terrain while embarking on a magical quest with an unexpected crafter named Steve.
Steve! Directed by Jared Hess, the film stars Jason Momoa, Jack Black, Danielle Brooks, Emma Myers, and Sebastian Hansen. Also, you get a cool appearance from Jennifer Coolidge, no pun intended. and yeah, Couple key pieces about this movie. This is actually the second collaboration between Jack Black and director Jared Hess after Nacho Libre, released 19 years prior, as well as his second collaboration with Jemaine Clement after Gentlemen Broncos, which was released in 2009, 16 years prior. He also directed Napoleon Dynamite in 2004. So, real quick, raise your hand here at the table if you have seen Nacho Libre.
This is very good for our audience.
The interns, both interns are raising their hand, as well as myself. Raise your hands if you've seen Napoleon Dynamite. Again, both interns as well as myself are raising their hands. And then I'm pretty sure nobody here, I think maybe Sarah, who's seen Gentlemen Broncos.
I have.
I've seen Gentlemen Broncos. So right now, that kind of leaves...
Listen, this was not listed as required homework.
It was last week. It wasn't. I said, I have it on my Vudu. You can watch it there.
Listen, last week was last week.
I love and how when you're caught, in the past right you're
now.
Like,
I'm listen. Looking forward now. It's all about living in now and trying to prevent the atrocities of the future.
Uh-huh.
Wait, uh-huh. Spencer, have you never seen Nacho Libre?
No.
Or Napoleon Dynamite?
No.
So we did mention it to him last week. It'd probably be a good idea to watch those movies.
But... I had other things to do. I have a job.
Mm-hmm. We know what you do at your job, Spence.
I don't know where he's going with that. Another key piece of information about the film. This film was originally going to be directed by Sean Levy, but he left the project after disagreements with the Minecraft developers as they thought that his idea did not suit the game. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because if you consider the fact that there's not really much of a storyline that's based in the game outside of whatever lore people put on it after the fact, it does leave a little bit of questions to like, well, what were you talking about? So, I mean, who knows? You know, I'm not one to judge, but if you don't know who Sean Levy is, Sean Levy was also the same guy who did the first Deadpool film. So... I mean, Deadpool director, Minecraft movie, kind of.
And he directed Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, okay. So he did one and three, but did he do two?
He did one. He did Free Guy. He did.
I can't hear you because you're not talking in the mic.
Sorry. He did Deadpool and Wolverine, Free Guy, Adam Project, Night at the Museum.
Okay, so he's done a good amount of stuff.
Oh, he didn't do first Deadpool or second Deadpool. He just did the third one.
The third one. Okay. Yeah. Well, he did a Deadpool.
Yeah.
So.
He did a.
So yeah, I mean, the fact that this movie is, it's made and, we are here to talk about it, at least speaks to the element that it has been released in theater. So, as we dive into this movie, obviously it's been at least 2 weeks. So, spoiler alert, you've been warned, we're going to get into the spoilers. So let's talk about first off, expectations. Now, when it comes to expectations, a lot of it really can't be based on any prior IP because of the fact that, again, as I stated, the game doesn't really have a storyline to base on.
Well, so Minecraft proper does not have a story.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But there is Minecraft story mode, which does have a story.
Thank you, Uncle Spencer. Mm-hmm. I tried to get into it like a while ago, uh-huh. And people have brought it up to me that like, hey, if you're playing Minecraft, you really should do story mode. And I have never. Oh, okay. But thank you for bringing it up.
It's actually the only Minecraft property I've played.
Oh my gosh.
Go ahead.
No, so you've only played story mode and you haven't played just basic Minecraft?
Okay, so back apparently 20 years ago when it first came out and was in beta, I did try it out and I went underground and I started hearing noises. And you've played games with me before, Jesus. So you know that the second noises started happening, I was like, nah, I'm good.
Okay, wow. Is that what it takes? Okay.
Yeah. I can't see what's happening. I didn't have a torch.
So
too much.
Okay. So did the story? So what is the story mode? If you like, I'm assuming you finished it.
Yeah. Okay. But this was like 8 years ago at this point. So what I remember
not 20
is
years ago. You sure?
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure. Just checking. That.
Has 16 Seuss's years ago, Minecraft. Hmm? Minecraft came out in 2009.
I said almost 2 decades, okay. Not a whole two decades.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yes, so this story was about a guy named Jesse and his group of friends who were builders. They were competing in EnderCon. with their pet pig, Ruben. A whole lot of nonsense went down.
Okay.
And that's about as much as I can remember. I remember it being, it was mostly okay, except for one scene that was kind of shared across the entire internet where the pig died.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very heartfelt scene, but because it's Minecraft, whenever something dies, it becomes a spinning object of that thing.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a heartfelt scene, and then the pig dies, and they're just
spinning. Turns into a pork chop.
I laughed so hard. It was hilarious.
Okay. all right, I guess. I mean, so then I guess, is there anything that you could do as a person who's played? Okay, well, hold on.
Yeah.
Jesus, have you played the story mode?
I had to go at it a while ago, but I didn't ever finish it.
Okay, so nobody here has finished it except for Spencer.
It is very different from regular Minecraft. It's like a point-and-click adventure versus actually building things.
And it was on Netflix. That's how I came across it.
Right, randomly. They did pour it over the Netflix.
Mm-hmm. It was on Netflix?
Yeah, because...
They do games now!
The mobile game, okay.
But also they did like a choose your own adventure, but like since you have...
Oh, they ported the whole thing over there. Oh, that's actually clever.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess. So then back to you, Spencer. So then is there anything from the original story mode that pulls itself in terms of like that you would use as was that a point of comparison for you with preparing yourself for the movie?
That I just like before I even saw the trailer to the Minecraft movie, I knew it was coming. I kind of just assumed it would look like that.
Yeah.
Like just visual wise. Have blocky people in a blocky world. Like, that made sense to me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, going to real people in a blocky world, I was like,
yeah, that's weird.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about expectations with the other two gamers here in the room outside of myself and Spencer. Mm-hmm. So let's start with Sarah. What were some of your expectations going into the movie? So
my expectations coming in was basically... It's going to be a video game movie. I shouldn't really have
that one, Sherlock.
I really shouldn't have really high expectations because, like, it's not how. So originally, I thought it was going to be an animated movie, much like what Spencer said.
Of course, you did
because like it would have looked so good as an animated movie, but like. I kind of just threw all of my like, oh, I really want to see this or I want to see how they would do a character design for like this type of mob. I threw out the window. I was just like, I'm just here to see a movie at this point. Like, I wasn't expecting.
So you gave up is what I.
Yeah, I gave up.
Okay. So, all right.
Storyline from my internship.
Jesus, what were some of your expectations before going to the movie? Not after seeing it. So expectations are essentially the things that are building up your hype in your own head for this film. What was going on in your brain prior to coming into seeing this movie?
I didn't really have expectations, actually. When I heard it got released and then I saw the teaser trailer and what have you, I knew it was going to be a movie for sure.
Oh, I hope so. It's releasing in theaters.
I saw, when I looked at the casting list, I had, like Sarah, I kind of threw all my expectations out the window.
Uh-huh.
But like, as opposed to everybody else's being here, I'm glad it wasn't an animated movie because it's one of those movies that was so bad, it was good. And so...
Well, we haven't gotten there yet, but...
I expected it to be bad.
You expected it. Okay, so you went in with the mindset with the bar set really low.
There was no bar.
Okay, there was no bar. Okay.
Expect the movie to be a god-awful movie.
Okay. 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 So... Gosh, okay. So we all went to go see the film, obviously. We all went through it. We endured.
Wait, what was your expectations going in?
Oh, yeah. My expectations. My expectations were this was going to be bad. when you have a movie that is fully relying on two of Hollywood's biggest stars, comedic stars, that also carry a presence about them to kind of main headline a movie, and everybody else in the movie is... I had no idea who any of them were. The only person I knew was the woman who played what was her name? I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. Give me a second. What is her name?
Describe.
No. Dawn. the woman who played Dawn, the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm. Danielle Brooks.
She actually was in Orange is the New Black. That's where I remember her from. Haven't really seen her in pretty much anything else. But her, Emma Myers and Sebastian Hansen, I have no idea like what their capability was outside of, well, mostly her outside of Orange is the New Black, which I hope none of that was coming into this movie. And then I hadn't seen those two kids in anything, which they both look like children. So I really didn't have a frame of reference to kind of gauge their ability on. I haven't seen any of the movies that any of these kids have been on. So ultimately my overall expectation was this movie is going to ultimately divide Minecraft lovers and create either the worst gathering of these people or the best gathering for these people. But it's going to do both of those. And for everyone else, it's just going to suck royally. So that was my expectation going in. I am of the basic understanding of Minecraft. I've spent countless hours in worlds building and blowing stuff up and building.
Farming
and killing and mining and crafting. So that's pretty much the gist of my expectation / history with it. As far as first impressions, that's a whole different story. Let's start with Spencer.
So this movie just seemed a little unbalanced, if I'm going to put it.
A little unbalanced. Okay.
Okay, it's unbalanced. But like this movie is just all over the place. Like we've got these four people, well, five people in the Minecraft world, but then we kind of lose two of them for a while.
Yeah.
And then there's a villager that leaves the Minecraft world and is dating Jennifer Coolidge, which, while being wholly pointless, I was kind of here for. I was kind of here for like something ridiculous like that. And I kind of wish this movie incorporated more of it. So I kind of just felt like this movie was a bit lopsided with like really fun things and then just really meh things.
Fun things and meh things.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree to one of those. Sarah, what are you doing? What is it that you're doing? Are you running a whole entire like stationery set over there? You got sticky notes and pens and what were some of your first impressions right outside the gate?
This is the first movie of this year where I've seen so many people yell lines from the trailer and have it be an open conversation at my school about how our theater etiquette has gone downhill with how many kids yelled chicken jockey, I am Steve, chicken jockey, Flint and Steel. Oh, I already said chicken jockey, didn't I?
Yep.
I remember peeing myself.
And you remember peeing yourself?
Yeah, that's what I heard too. I wasn't going to question you on this.
My internship is going so badly. No one's going to hire me anymore.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, keep going. I have no idea what just happened.
Oh, no.
I'm here peeing myself. You heard it first, folks. We force our interns to urinate on themselves.
They won't let us have bathroom breaks.
Okay, well, that's not true.
That's definitely not true.
I went to the bathroom before we started.
Yeah.
That was an option?
Anyways, what were your first impressions before you urinate on yourself anymore?
Matt Berry, as a nitwit villager, made the movie a little bit better for me at the very, like, for credit scene. I liked the it was a movie.
Okay, there we go. That sounds like
it was a movie.
Jesus, what were some of your thoughts outside the gate as soon as the movie was over?
It was the best movie I have ever seen.
That's what I expected. Yeah.
I loved the movie so much. I was one of the people yelling chicken jockey in the theater. I bought the chicken jockey popcorn bucket. Two, actually.
So you're fully invested in this movie.
Fully invested.
Yeah. Okay.
It was just the best movie I've ever seen. I loved it so much. It was the greatest thing ever.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right.
Hey, live your truth, man.
Live your truth. As far as myself, first impressions, This is one of those movies that doesn't know what it wants to do, and unfortunately, it comes through in the film. It was bad, but not so bad that it could be good. It was just bad in the fact that every second it continued, it solidified the fact that it needed to be a second shorter. Thankfully, I was in a theater where it was just a bunch of kid Minecraft fans.
Yeah.
So a lot of like, look at Chicken Ducky. Like a lot of little kids yelling like that. Thankfully, oh my God, I would have lost my ever loving flipping mind if any of those teenage/adult Minecraft fans were in the theater. It would have gone beyond shushing, Spencer.
Okay.
I would have been cracking heads and taking names.
I think you would have preferred to be in my theater when I saw it, because it was like, I don't know why, there was a lot of Latino families in there, because like I heard a lot of Spanish behind me.
Uh-huh.
And like during each of like the big scenes, like Chicken Jockey, there was like, hey, like clapping, like all from all the kids. And I was like, what? Oh, this is adorable.
You're like, they've been trained well.
Yeah, oh, they're great. They were a really great audience.
You had like the most like sincere audience out of anybody who went.
Yeah, I saw the clips online. I'm like, they brought a live chicken. What?
Yeah, what? I saw that. No. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But like the fact is, number one, you should have paid those people who you went to, like given them $1, said, thank you for your service. and just kept on going. Because honestly, after everything I saw online and then everything regarding like just this movie altogether, it was like, it was such a hodgepodge of everything that here's the thing. I don't want to put this on Jared Hess. Hess is a good director. I know that. I'm more so putting it on either the studios or the powers that be that needed him to do X, Y, and Z. I don't know. But either way, like this movie felt like it was being pulled in so many different directions and it didn't know exactly where it wanted to land. And I was like, this isn't a movie. This is a short film done really long that should have been on YouTube. And like plain and simple.
And it's slightly pandering. Like pandering to younger, like not like the old, like, okay. Trying to find the right words to say, because it was pandering to like a little bit more to Gen Alpha because of the use of the word Chungus so many times, because you have the name of one of the piglins who's
respect
named Chungus.
General Chungus.
The name of the town that the brother and the sister moved to is Chunglass, Idaho. And then the little piglins are called Chuggy. Like
we'll talk about that, because that's an interesting take. I haven't heard that part yet, but that's an interesting thought process. Ultimately, like I feel like this movie could have been better if it did less. Mm. And I think that's the biggest thing kind of like I got right when I stepped out of the theater. Now, let's talk about performers in this movie. Obviously, we mentioned like some of the key performers. Jack Black is an absolute treasure. I'm not too sure. I didn't look at the billing. I hope that Jack Black wasn't second billing on this to Jason Momoa.
I think he was, because seriously? I was like, that was, I'm pretty sure he was when I watched the credits in the movie. I was like, that's interesting.
That is interesting, because I feel like if anybody carries this movie, it is absolutely Jack Black.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, again, basing Jack Black's character on a character that really doesn't have any emotion, character at all. Like, Steve doesn't have anything in the game. Like, and I'm looking at you, Jesus, because you're the one who plays or is an absolute fan. How do you feel Jack Black's performance lends itself as far as comparison to what you expected from Steve?
It's actually kind of a complicated question, because...
Well, no, it's a pretty straightforward answer. If I were to say, like, if I was to look at Spencer, I said, Spencer, I want to know, how do you feel that Henry Cavill's performance as Superman compared to the character Superman? Spencer would have a form of comparison, because there's Superman in the comic books, Superman in the cartoons, Superman in video games.
Well, like, also, I would say that one's hard because I don't fully understand what Snyder was going for in that whole universe.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah,
just to be fair.
Okay, that's overcomplicating it a little, but it's still like the basic premise of it is there. Is there, and I'm asking you because I'm giving you a chance to defend this movie that you also love, is there enough information about Steve's lore that you could create a basis for comparison to what we saw out of Jack Black's performance?
Well, I mean, like, coming to Steve, he's a 2D blocky character in a game about, like, that's full of creativity. But I think in that sense, Jack Black did capture that that creative side. Like, the whole introduction to the movie is a montage of Steve building things and hanging out with his best friend, Dennis, the dog. And so I think Jack Black did a good job of being able to portray that creative, silly side and just kind of like showing like what Minecraft is about. And like Steve as a character, again, he's an emotionless 2D character in a game. So I think personally, Jack Black did a great job of like conveying that creative side. And
so Jack Black was pretty much just playing you or any person who plays Minecraft, not so much as Steve itself.
I think Jack Black was playing Jack Black. I don't think Jack Black knew he was in the movie. He was just being himself.
Very well. What? Like,
I mean, the problem is that he's not wrong, but the problem is that the other problem is that this is a character that it's supposed to, I mean, I would assume like you're gonna want to base it on some sense of lore, which apparently it doesn't even sound like Steve's in, and I'm pointing at Spencer, no. Steve's in the story mode.
Not to my
recollection. Which is really weird, because it's like, why then would you have a story mode?
Because
if it's not around.
Here's the thing. You want to have a story, but you don't want to be burdened by lore. Like, bringing Steve in could make things real complicated real fast.
I mean, it would help. Like, it would actually be like, oh, Steve's the all-seeing, like, he's like the watcher of the Minecraft universe, and he's just always there or something. Like something like that would be interesting, because then it gives you something to shoot for. But now in this element, it's just like, oh, Steve. Yeah.
Steve can craft.
That's.
I wanted to bring up Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
But all in all, so I ask all that to say, like, okay, then ultimately you're right, Jesus. Like, Jack Black played Jack Black in this. And it was the most Jack Black performance we've seen him do as of late, even compared to his role as Bowser in the Super Mario Brothers, to be honest, or Super Mario Brothers movie. Because, I mean, Jack Black did like three different songs in this one. He was what I would assume is to be the way he would be normally in real life. I mean, just a guy trying to live in the world that's around him. I don't know. What do you think, Spence?
Well, you distracted me with bringing up Super Mario Brothers and Bowser.
We're not doing the Peaches song.
Yeah, I think the thing here is that, like, Steve, while being very iconic, doesn't really have much, to my knowledge, attached to him. Was like, Steve likes apples or something. Like,
so that's the thing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, because that's why I'm also saying, like, I've heard a lot of things about Minecraft. Not terribly much about Steve, about, like, who he is as a person, which makes it real easy to just paint him with broad strokes in whatever flavor you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, again, when you think of Minecraft, Steve is what you choose to make him, because like, you can play Minecraft in a variety of different ways. You could just live a peaceful building.
The more and more I keep hearing this, Minecraft seems like the biggest scam, like, in the entire world, because it's like, you are playing a character that doesn't have any character to him. You're just, it's like digital Legos.
That's actually exactly the point. Yeah. Don't like be someone else. Be you in the game. Like Steve's like Steve and Alex are like a blank slate, so that people can just put themselves in their place.
It's the launching point, basically.
Says the person who's only played story mode. Got it.
Yeah, and that's why I played as Jesse, who had a personality and character and a pet pig.
And a pet pig.
Yeah,
good to know. What were you saying, Sarah?
Oh no, I was agreeing with it for the now I've forgot everything for Spencer's point on that that. Minecraft is basically just Legos, but also it's to point for Jesus, the open-endedness of you can basically be as creative as you want. You can build whatever you want. And they portrayed it really well with when Steve first gets to the overworld. him building a whole bunch of stuff, him hanging out with Dennis, and him being part of like the with the villagers and building like all these different structures, and him just basically going all out.
Sure. All right. Well, I mean, so outside of Jack Black being Jack Black, which he's always just wonderful in that role, where let's talk about someone who's not in the video game, and that is Jason Momoa's character, who has, I think, a little too much backstory playing Garrett. To be honest, I feel like I don't even know if anything kind of resolved with his whole personal goals.
I think so, yeah, because he was able to save his store.
Which is probably his selfish endeavor at the beginning, but
yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, what was your guys' take on Jason Momoa's role?
Anybody. Oh, okay, sorry.
Anybody. I'm leaving this open-ended here because I'm trying to get... Why are you holding up sticky notes?
Because I wrote something I probably should talk about.
Does it have to do with Jason Momoa?
Yeah.
All right, I think Spencer's...
Okay, all I was going to say is that I agree there's a lot of personality and character here,
mm-hmm.
and that only makes it odd in comparison to the other female yeah. leads of this movie, because Jason Momoa has so much going on with him, and like then you've got a lady who's running a zoo out of her car. And I really
yeah.
feel like I have too many questions I'm to like, follow up with that.
Yeah, that's like that's a driving hazard and a half.
Yeah, especially I mean, with the mean like llama that's yeah. back there that needs to be fed a carrot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So like he's doing too much.
What was your thoughts on Jason Momoa's character? So since we're going to be leading to whatever Sarah has on her sticky note, I don't want to see it.
I think Jason Momoa as Garrett, the garbage man Garrison, was a...
Wow, he's got his whole name. Got the whole name there.
I was looking for it and I couldn't see it.
There was definitely a lot of... a little too much backstory, I think. Again, with him not even like being mostly the main character. That goes to... His name's Sebastian Hansen, the kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That goes mostly to his role. But I still think... I think they had like an interesting way there. It gave me like Pixel vibes, but if it went wrong... where... One guy never became the president, and Adam Sandler wasn't a nerd.
I will also say it's not a good thing this movie is like bringing up like feelings from Pixels.
Yeah, you're not going in the right direction there, buddy.
No, but there was a lot with Garrett, but I think it also like it was a setup for what happened later in the movie. I think that's why they gave him so much. But overall, his character was funny, a really interesting way for comedic relief. Yeah, sometimes it was just a little too much. Too much Garrett, the garbage man Garrison.
All right, Sarah, give us your whole spiel here.
He was Aquaman, we already know.
Yes. So I agree wholeheartedly on that. He was basically like too much focus put on him, and kind of just Jack Black did a good job as our main, like as our probably our main focus, but he kind of like in Fantastic Beasts, the main person gets sidelined by a secondary character who's like, we need to focus on Garrett a little bit more than Steve.
But even then, I feel like I feel like the kids were supposed to be the focus. Like the movie was pushing it. The intention was the kids.
Yeah.
The powers that be were like, no, there's true grown up adults that are right there that you need to be watching. Look at them. Look at them. When I say look at them, I was like, that's kind of how I felt with this movie.
No, like seriously, it feels like, you know, it should be like, pivoting off if they're going to split up, you know, your point should be Henry and Natalie and them interacting with like Steve and the garbage man and then Dawn.
Yeah.
And like,
which poor Dawn. Dawn just didn't really count, unfortunately, in all of this.
I kind of felt like they did both Dawn and Natalie dirty in this movie.
Oh, 100%.
They built a mushroom house in that house.
And that's all that basically they had for their female characters was all that they were kind of good for was building a house. And
but hold on. Hodor. So what's the sticky note? What were you going to go on? Does it have to do with his performance?
There was too much homoerotic tension between him and Steve. And
so you read that on the internet too as well.
Yeah, no, that was the first thing I got told by one of my friends at school was since the launch of the movie, there has been so many fan fictions between Garrett and Steve that has come out. that see, it's the, trying to speedline the problem Eggman is, and Doctor and Agent Stone stuff that just came out recently. Like,
no, I so, can see that for that Sonic movie.
Sonic was here. Better than, here
this it, doesn't make any sense. It that's
was
crazy.
It was the scene where they I were think, fighting
I think,
through that hole.
I think the problem is that I feel like people forget that this movie embodies the absolute vibiest vibes of the 80s, the late 80s. And if you look at the late 80s, it was all about the bro ships, I feel like. And I feel like that's what they were trying to do. Now, mind you, yes, there could be interpretations of homoerotic tensions, but I feel like people are just looking past the fact that they are just literally bros in this. And it again, from people who kind of seen that in like every single 80s-ish or homage to the 80s type movie, the 80s was filled with that. Yeah. Like looking at it from the lens of nowadays, the 80s is rampant for homoerotic tension, which is understandable because of the misunderstanding of the way people were just in the 80s. Now, mind you, in some of those situations, they were actually gay. But then in many of the other ones, it was just the way guys were at the time or the way women were at the time. So in the effort of like viewing this, I could see someone's perspective, but I also don't think there's a lot to it to give it
credence
to be true. I don't know. Am I missing something, Spence? Because I know you...
I don't know what these people are talking about, to be perfectly honest, because like, besides that one scene and like them awkwardly flying, yeah. Like what else you got? Because you don't got much. Like I kind of like consider them like on friendly terms, but not even like, oh, you're my friend and blah, blah, blah. But
I think it's also between the man sandwich where they went flying to that hole.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, no, there is... At the end of the movie, they I don't know how to describe it, but I know in a Thor: Love and Thunder, where
this isn't Thor: Love and Thunder. No, this
but,
is
but where Chris Hemsworth he's talking with Chris Pratt before he leaves on the ship. They're doing that same thing where he's like pulling his face to make him look at himself. That Jason Momoa does the same thing with Jack Black, where he says, "What does he say in Spanish?" He's like "Para con Dios."
Oh,
yeah, and he's like, "Yes, that's what it means. That's what it means." Ignoring Natalie in the back. I think it's also people getting that kind of homoerotic. Yeah,
but again,
tension.
That just adds like that's the sense of like comedy in that arena. I feel like that just lends itself more towards like the bro ships. Like, take for instance, and I'm gonna probably put someone on blast right now, but Jesus, you have a friend that lives all the way on the other side of the United States, correct?
He moved to Texas.
Okay, so he lives halfway.
Closer and closer.
He lives halfway across the other side of the United States.
Yes.
You guys have a very unique friendship.
Yeah.
If it were put on film, would some say there's homoerotic tension?
Absolutely.
There's
no shame in that.
Are you guys good friends?
Yeah, we're great friends.
You're great friends.
Yeah.
So is there any gravitas to the rumor that there's homoerotic tension in there?
No. In some cases, I endorse it. That is like... When you have like a really close friend, you just like, you learn to accept it and kind of embrace it.
And mind you, that's like the epitome, like friendship is magic is like the theme song for everything 80s. Like if you look at anything that has to do with the 80s, whether if it's a sci-fi movie, whether if it's a kids movie, whether if it's a scary movie, friendship is how you survive. And that's kind of the indulgence that I think people are having with this particular scene and these particular characters. I can see where people, just like you were saying, you can see where people may draw that conclusion. I can see where people may draw that conclusion for the film. I don't think, though, there's enough credence to it to make it true. But people will, you know, exposit, you know, will give explanations as much as they want and the fanfics and whatever. But I don't think there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
So... Is that what you were wanting to throw in there?
And I'd like to do a quick shout out about one of my favorite performances from Rachel House, who was the grandma in Moana.
We haven't even gotten there, but okay. Sure. We were talking about Jason Momoa, but sure, go ahead. Yeah,
I like Rachel House. She is a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Which, yeah, we didn't actually put her in the list, but she is. She plays the, what does she play?
She plays,
with all your sticky notes over there. And
Malgosha.
Malgosha. Oh. Rachel House, if you don't know where she's from, she was actually in Thor Ragnarok. Even before then, she was in Hunt for the Wilder People. She was in a couple other things too. She played the grandmother for Moana in both Moana 1 and 2. So she's been around. She's actually a really great actress. She's phenomenal in Hunt for the Wilder People. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a great movie from like 2016. I believe it's from New Zealand, but it's a great movie. Sam Neill, Rachel House, what's his name? The little boy, Dennis,
Ricky Baker.
Yeah. The young boy who's in it. He was the kid who played,
Julian Dennison.
He's the same one who played the kid in Deadpool 2, who's got like fire coming out of his hands. So it's kind of where he got
his big fist,
whatever. So Rachel House, she's a great performer in this one. She's actually really good. It seems like they really try to incorporate her level of comedy in every single time she's in a movie, because even that, the spoiler alert, like the ending scene when she's being defeated and she's like, no, come here. I got something for you.
No, I don't. I don't have a knife on me. Don't worry. Just come a little closer. Come a little closer. And they're like, you gotta stop. And the amount of times it happened was just beautiful.
Okay, the amount of times that happened was actually pretty good.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
I like that.
But she was great. You said you wanted to highlight something?
Oh, no. I wanted to highlight her because you didn't have her in the list. And
No. I didn't get a chance to. I didn't see that. I didn't put her in there. Yeah, she was really great. I thought she was fun. I thought, unfortunately, the fact that we don't see her and it's just her voice, I really feel like they missed out on an opportunity for Rachel House to really do something magnificent live in person. Like, if she was, you know what would have been great is if it would have turned into like she's actually a human who took on the role of Malgosia, and then, you know, was like, when she dies, she like reveals that she was actually a human. Like, that would be really cool. Like, I would have loved to have seen her physically in the movie, because she's also great in her physical comedy as well. So was there anybody else you guys wanted to highlight? The main people. I forgot. Let's talk about the kids that are in this movie. Sebastian Hansen and Emma Myers.
You should just say like immediate no.
Yeah, there's not really much to talk about because they're not really the focus of this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you have some backstory that obviously apparently their parents died. This turned into a Disney movie for some reason. And then you have Emma Myers, this character who is Natalie, has to, I guess, take care of her younger brother, even though she looks like she's 16, 17.
You know.
And they move to this random town, and he's just an awkward kid. That's it.
He's an awkward kid who likes to build things.
I didn't like that. Like that plot for him. Like he's trying to say he's creative, but people make fun of him for being creative.
Yeah,
that was kind of like it's been overused, and it just wasn't like, I feel like it wasn't put there properly. He's a smart kid, and people make fun of him for it.
I feel like they were trying too hard to make the connection with like, hey, all those kids who are bullied in school for being creative and engineering types, this is why Minecraft was built. Everybody is the little boy. Which, what was the little boy's name? Henry. Like, everybody's Henry. Like, I think that's kind of the mentality they were trying to do, like make the connection with everybody who apparently got bullied to the point to where they're blowing up jetpacks, like, and destroying large size, you know, whatever that thing was, the statue of Chungus, or what was his name? No.
It's something Chippy, because it was a potato factory.
Oh, yeah, Chippy. Yeah. Either way, it didn't land, and I felt like it was a little hollow for me. Mm-hmm. And same thing as Spencer mentioned earlier, like Natalie, as well as Don, who's played by Danielle Brooks, they were immensely, like, thrown under the bus as far as being better performers in this movie, or at least having more opportunities to shine. Because I mean, let's be honest, Danielle Brooks is a funny actress. She's really good. And I hesitate to say she could be even greater, but the fact is like, we got little to no backstory or investment in her outside of her llama. Yes.
Her llama, her animal handling towards the final act where she's gathered all those wolves/dogs And then
that was another thing. I was like, just so random as heck. Like, oh, she's the mobile zoo lady, so let her get like, on.
They were trying to hit a point basically with the type of players who, when they go into a big boss fight, they just go around and like they spend like days on end grinding, getting a whole bunch of dogs so that they basically can kind of just sit back and have the dogs attack the mobs and creatures so that they can basically do their own thing. Because there's types of players like that.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. And I think this is like a good part to, And then shout out to Jennifer Coolidge for her role in it, which was very minimal, but it was like.
Same with Jermaine Clement.
And Jermaine Clement was in there for like maybe 5 minutes. But yeah, he's in there. And then the wonderful vocal talents of Matt Berry, who I guess is the voice of what villagers sound like when they learn how to speak human. Yeah, I don't know.
I watched enough Villager news where I'm just like, okay. And originally, supposedly, Matt Berry was originally supposed to be playing Steve. But they went, you can play the Nitwit now. You can play Villager.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just like, but Matt Berry. No.
So let's talk about, first off, before we dive into the movie itself, let's talk about kind of these theater experiences. So if you don't know, if you've been living under a bridge and you're unaware, Minecraft holds one of the most, I guess, the most diverse, as well as to a certain extent toxic fandoms out there when it comes to people who love the franchise, they love the platform, they love the IP, and in fact, it has gotten so large that it is actually built upon itself through the community with certain opportunities to create stories and lore within it. The fact that you can create a whole world in the game and then build story around it and whatnot, and then people share that lore online, it's a big part about like the gaming community and even the YouTube community who spend countless hours either telling the tale or breaking down theories around the lore. And Sarah's over here grabbing her short collar because she doesn't want to talk about something. What's going on?
To like agree with on your point that there's certain sections of the Minecraft community where it's toxic. You also have the problem of there are certain stereotypes for Minecraft YouTubers where they like grooming. And it's one of the problems that people have talked about with the movie coming out. Because they're like, oh, this certain YouTuber should have been there. And then allegations and facts come out about them.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. This is just getting better and better.
I know, right? Jeez.
But the fact remains is that within this dynamic of community, you know, the fact is when the movie came out, obviously all these people who were fans of the franchise and are still fans of it went to the theaters. And again, I had a very subdued but excited crowd that I went to the theater with. Spencer, it sounds like you went with like a bunch of, you know, Mexican, you know, dignitaries or something.
They're very excited but very polite.
Okay, very cool. How was your experience, Jesus?
It was great, actually. Kind of going back to where I said I yelled chicken jockey. My theater was empty. I didn't disturb anybody.
So you yelled. You were one of those people who yelled chicken jockey?
Yelled, said, applauded. But my theater.
What? Hold the phone. Backtrack here one more time.
What did you do?
Everything. Like, it was great. It was funny. Okay,
this man had a whole dance for this character in a movie.
He pulled out the confetti cannon just
because. My theater was empty. Like, I wasn't disturbing anybody. So, you know, I didn't throw my popcorn because I paid $25 for my popcorn. But actually, I paid $50 because I bought 2 chicken jockeys. But, like, my theater was empty. So, you know, like, it was nice. I could actually relax and enjoy the movie. No popcorn was thrown on me.
Okay.
But I didn't throw popcorn on anybody else because nobody was there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said nobody was there.
So, it was great. My experience was, you know, it was calm.
Obviously, because, again, as you stated several times, you were the only person in there. Yes. So,
close enough to the only person.
And I'm assuming, Sarah, you had a subdued experience?
Yeah. I was just trying to focus on watching the movie because everyone around have been like, we're going to yell at the top of our lungs when the scene comes on.
Well, it sounds like there are people that did not have that great of an experience. Mm-hmm. And to whatever, think of the experience of what Jesus had, but in a full packed out theater. Apparently people were getting up, yelling, screaming, firing off confetti cannons and even letting loose live chickens in theaters. It had got so bad, I read, that theaters were actually considering banning the movie in the theater.
Oh, they also put like a low, like before the movie started, like, hey, we know that there's these lines in this movie. They exist. But please be respectful and have theater etiquette.
It's
and
like it was Wicked in all
the,
over again,
I think
Spencer.
It was in the font of the of Minecraft. I'm just like, okay, I hear you.
It was interesting. I've never seen like movies in a movie theater get paused, and then like it happens yeah. so many times.
Yeah. There's plenty of videos where the managers had to go into the theater and say, hey, you know, you need to sit down, watch the movie, and if with the paused screen. And say, if you don't sit down, then we're going to turn it off and you're going to have to leave. No refunds. And I'm like, dang, that's as close as the don't make me come back there in the car conversation that we used to get when we were kids as anybody could give in a movie theater. The fact, though, that it's like, and I say, you know, that's the Wicked thing all over again, not just in jest, but in all seriousness, the fact that there are these fandoms that people just go nuts over that they feel like, when they go see these movies, they are the only people in the theater, you know, and I either it's the mindset that, oh,
this is our movie.
Yeah. This is our movie. So we're going to do whatever. And it's like, dude, like Jesus said, like he paid $25 for popcorn. You know, when you go to the movies, you pay for tickets. They're like $15, $16 each, you know, on top of snacks and drinks. Like you're spending a good chunk of change when you're doing this. I don't want to see anybody getting up, let alone throwing a chicken in the middle of a theater just because there's a character on screen that you like that you just can't hold it in and go to the bathroom and do whatever you got to do there before you go there. Like, seriously. Like, am I just over-expecting?
I mean, the answer is no, but apparently we live in a world where it's yes.
We live in a society.
Again, on social media too, I was looking at all these posts and it was torn. If you look at the comments, there were people, somebody was trying to defend their actions by saying, I paid for the movie, so I'm going to do whatever I want.
Yeah, was, no, no.
Like, learn your movie etiquette. And then there's people, like, if you try to say it was a bad thing, people would attack you and say, oh, here comes the fun police. But not only are you making the workers' lives harder by throwing your popcorn at work, like, all the people that went there and wanted to enjoy the movie, they got the movie experience ruined because...
Not to mention, like, when you do things like that, like, you're missing key parts of the movie because everybody's yelling and screaming. Mm-hmm. It's like, and mind you, again, different time, but it's still, like, a key moment to kind of reminisce on. When everybody went to go see Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The last one, the second one was Endgame.
Yeah.
So when everyone went to go see Avengers Endgame and the whole thing where like portholes started showing up. Obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, you know, go watch a movie, dang it. But like at that scene where Cap's standing on the hill by himself and then you hear, you know, Sam Wilson say, you know, on your left, and then, you know, these magic holes start showing up and people start pouring through and everyone's getting excited. And then all of a sudden, like everybody yells and screams and he's like, Avengers. And I was like, oh my God. And you couldn't hear when he says assemble. And it's like, I get it. You're excited because he's going to say the thing. But because you were just loud right now, I didn't get to hear him say the thing.
Did you not get to hear them say that thing?
Not the first time.
Oh.
I was so I went to a midnight showing of Endgame back when midnight showings were a thing, which is sad because it's less than like 10 years ago when the midnight showings were.
You know what? I'm kind of pro not doing this anymore.
I love midnight
showings. Let's do 6 p.m.
No, midnight showings are like the best thing ever. Midnight showings are like the closest thing you'll ever get to going to like a live viewing, like a full viewing of like The Room at like a late night showing, or seeing Rocky Horror Picture at like midnight. Like those are experiences that you won't ever get again. And this was like going to some midnight showings are absolutely like inescapable. You have to go see it. And when Avengers Endgame came out, I had the first showing tickets. It was like a 9 o'clock showing. So it was like 9 o'clock the day before, but I went with actually out here in our side of town with a bunch of other fans, bunch of other people, everybody screaming and yelling. You have to go with the mindset of like, if you're going to go to a midnight showing, you're going to have to see it twice that weekend. You're going to have to see it at the midnight showing and then you're going to have to see it again. So that way you can catch all the things you missed originally. This is not the case with these movies. Minecraft came out 2 weeks ago and people are still doing this crap. It's like, come on. To Jesus's point, like the fact that people are literally disregarding the fact of all the work that the workers are going to have to do. That's and mind you, I should have thought about it, but I didn't realize like all the popcorn and chicken crap that's all over the floor and the confetti. Like those people just need to be barred from the theater. It's not, you're not being the fun police. I hate the idea, the mentality that people are like, oh, well, I paid for this ticket so I can do whatever. If I want to bring my phone out, I'm going to take my phone out. If I want to answer a call in the middle, I'm gonna, like, no, you are paying entrance into this theater. You are not paying for the experience that you can only have on your own time. You are paying to come into the theater. You are paying to come into the seat. You are not paying for everything else around you. You are not paying for the workers to clean the floors beneath your feet. You are not paying for the opportunity to lay popcorn five seats down next to you because you decided to throw it in the wind. You are not paying for those phone calls that you take in the middle of the movie where you are hecka loud. You're not paying for any of that.
You're paying for an experience.
Not even that. You're paying to get into the movie. Oh, yeah. This is an entrance fee. This is at the beginning of walking into Disneyland, paying the money to get in, and then realizing that you still have to follow the rules of Disney or you're going to get kicked out. This is like walking to Six Flags, paying the amount, getting into it, and walking past the gates after you've paid and say, okay, I still have to follow the rules. There are rules and etiquette to theater going. And I feel like that can't be, we cannot be in such a lost point of society that kids are so idiotic, that there is a generation of idiocy. Oh my God, we are in idiocracy right now.
Yeah. It's somehow going to be worse, I feel like.
No, I mean, we're either way, we're in a generation
like,
this
of is a whole different episode. We're going to hold like content.
Like the fact is that like, it can't be like you can't truly sincerely believe that mentality that it's like, oh, I'm going to pay for my ticket. So when I go in, I'm going to have my fun. Like going again back to like to the Wicked thing. Mm-hmm. We talked about that when that episode dropped last year. The movie itself, yes, drew in fans that were fans of the musical and people were singing, did all this stuff. It went on for about a week or two, right?
Yeah.
It actually died down after about a week. People weren't doing as bad. In fact, they were talking about the sing-along once, right?
Which should have been released at the same time as the main movie.
But overall, the sentiment had to die down because it didn't get as bad. There were just people who were just loud, like singing-wise. This is a whole different ball game. This is like, if you want to do this, go pay the licensing rights to view this movie at your house and bring everybody there and let all of them come in and tear your house up from top to bottom and see how you feel about it. Like, is that okay? Is that cool? It's like, I just, it frustrates me that like, that's the mentality that people come in with. Like, I paid for this experience, so I'm going to get what I want. Like, no, you're not paying to, you know, trash the place. You're paying to get into the movie.
The other point I would like to add is also with the rise of people doing like a whole bunch of like non-theater etiquette, there has been a rise of, because this is technically a meme movie, memes about terrorizing and purposefully terrorizing your local theater workers because, oh, one, they refused to let you like say this and they had to politely tell you and then they came in to kick you out. There's been people who are like, I'm going to yell lava chicken and I'm going to throw down with this person and pull out a lighter and like set them aflame. There's people of that mindset who are like, haha, but it's just a joke regarding this movie. And there's a difference for it being a meme and you watching the movie, then going home and making a meme, then having to have that hero savior mentality of, hero or vigilante mentality of, oh, I can do this in this theater because like you said, I paid for this. And if other people in this theater might have the same mindset of me, it's all fun. It's doing it for attention because you need the views online to support your meme of, oh, I went to go see it. Ha ha. And this is what I did because we're going to tie it back into Nope. Was it Nope? Yeah. Nope. I have to make sure for Nope, where the whole concept of a movie is the human need and society's need for a spectacle.
Oh, yeah.
It's tying entirely back to that. Because for movies, it's a very like kind of not divided community, but you have different theater goers who are either going because, ooh, I heard about it online and I'm interested to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then the people are like, I'm going here just so I'm here for the memes. I'm here to basically make this about me. And I strongly love those people, because the worst interaction I have had in a theater was for a movie I was super excited for, which was the Batman that came out, like the most recent.
The Matt Reeves one.
Yeah.
And it was the most frustrating experience, because as a person who loves comics and wants to see how this iteration of Bruce Wayne and the Batman goes, people my age have won no respect for either. You go in, you watch, and you take your thoughts and you talk about it
after
it. Sorry, I'm doing this in all one breath. And so
she's about to pass out over here, Dave.
You're doing good.
But it frustrates me because, one, there's good sides and bad sides for memes. But if you go in purposely being like, I need to make every single comment that comes off the top of my head. I pulled a film philosopher Eddie and I shushed. But then my patience is very low for people my age. Like, if it's adults, if you shush, they get the point. People my age.
Not always. I can tell you from experience.
The adults I've shushed have been like, okay. Like, and they'll see their stuff out.
That's because it's a real mark of shame when someone
someone younger
when a young person like, oh, did I just get shushed by a Gen Z-er? It just happened. Okay.
Like, I'll send myself out. But what's frustrating is with my generation and generation below is that if you shush them, they'll either one get louder, or one, they'll up the ante. And so for Batman, there was someone in my front row, and he was in a group of other guys who kept commenting about Selina Kyle. And I was fed up because he was just like, should be me, not Bruce Wayne. And he kept saying all his thoughts out loud. And I was with my friends. And I'm like, okay, I gave them first two shushes. Third one, I shushed, said, watch the movie. And then when it continued, I said, no one wants to hear what you're thinking. Keep inside your brain about your wet dreams. And I got up and I went to go report them. And they found me afterwards and told me that I was like, I was in the wrong for shushing them. I'm like, no. Dude, I was in D-box seats for this movie. Those are expensive.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
I am here to watch this movie. I'm excited for this movie. I do not care that, like, you paid for your tickets. Cool. I do not care what you have to think about this movie. Unless you're a critic or unless you're one of my friends in a conversation, or if you're getting paid to talk about this movie, take it outside of the theater. I don't care.
And even then, it's like, even anybody who knows, anybody who carries a sense of etiquette, especially people who are in the Critics Association or people who, you know, are bona fide, like, film critics, like, they know, you know, you don't talk during the movie because you're trying to absorb as much of the movie as possible, because you have to retain all this stuff to remember for the review,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, where is your head? Like, are you here just to put on a spectacle, or are you here to watch a movie? And then if that's the case, then why pay the money to come see it?
It's good. You know? So it's good to have fun and enjoy a movie. You can cheer, you can clap, but anything more than either a yay or a hurrah or a boo, like a small boo.
Yeah.
Anything other than that is too much. Like, no. Really.
Any thoughts, Asus?
No, like, I fully agree. People, like, just in the past again, the same thing, like, when the Minion movie came out, and you had the gentle Minions, which is a ton of dudes dressing up as suits going to go watch the Minion movie.
Right.
That wasn't nearly as bad. It was just kind of, you know, people dressing up going to go watch
the Minion movie. Were you one of those people that dressed
like
up?
Like FNAF. No. Sorry.
Yes, like FNAF. No, I didn't actually watch the Minion movie in theaters.
Oh, okay.
But like FNAF, you also had the group of people that would go dressed up in costumes and stuff. But even that wasn't nearly as bad as the Minecraft movie was. Like, FNAF fans were just there to genuinely enjoy the movie. Yeah.
And I feel like that just lends to kind of like the toxic nature of this fandom. Because unfortunately, and here's the thing. I'm not saying that the fandom of Minecraft is toxic. I am saying that the toxic side of this fandom is what we've seen. Because every fandom out there has a sense of toxicity. Let's be honest. You know, whether you're a fan of a trading card game, whether you're a fan of like Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, if you're a fan of, you know, Sony, if you're a fan of Microsoft, like Xbox, if you're like one of those stands who absolutely loves, you know,
K-pop. This,
if you're, you know, a stand for K-pop or whatever, like everything out there, Broadway musicals, everything out there has a fandom. Every fandom, unfortunately, has a sense of toxicity. That level of toxicity will ultimately define how people view the worst of what your fandom provides.
and sharing that fandom with other people, because there's been times where I'm like, I really want to bring this person to a certain fandom, and they will get scared away from stereotypes for it. Like, I've been wanting to bring more people into playing Magic the Gathering with me. And every time I've said it to a person at school or a person I meet through other means, they'll be like, no, I don't really want to do, because like, they don't take showers, they don't use deodorant. And they're like, I don't really want to do that. And I respect them. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. I'm like, but as my friend, would you like to learn and play one-on-one with me? I don't want to do anything that makes you uncomfortable coming into this.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a good experience, and their mouth doesn't get soured by the taste of like, oh, one bad thing happening.
Yeah. I think we should kind of get back onto the actual story element, because we haven't really, but I mean, again, like, the sad truth is that, just like we were talking about, the toxicity of this fandom will ultimately be the takeaway that people get when they go and experience this movie, even before the story goes through. Like, even before people get into, like, to the actual meat and potatoes of the story element of this movie, people are going to see that the toxic aspect of this fandom is going to be what they go home with. Not the story, not the performances, not the CG work. It's going to be the toxicity of it. So this kind of still drives into it, but it is still, we did deviate a little bit, but it is, again, still an important part of like anybody experiencing this fandom. So, especially within this film. But as far as the story goes, obviously the story is about a young person named Steve who finds his way in, who's been yearning for the mines.
As all good children do.
As all Spencer does as well, yearning for the mines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just the stare of just like.
So he ends up going into some mine shaft, finds this cube that ultimately goes into a crystal
casing?
Yeah, not a cube. It was an orb.
Yes, the Orb of Dominance.
The Orb of Dominance, yes. That went into what's the
Earth Crystal.
The Earth Crystal. Okay. Well, I'm glad to see you were okay. So the Orb of Dominance is found, and then it's put into the Earth Crystal. Then ultimately Steve finds this portal, opens, and he walks through, and he comes into where?
The Overworld.
The Overworld. Where he then finds the entire universe of Minecraft that has been perpetuated from the games.
On the Overworld, specifically.
On the Overworld.
And then the Nether.
And then through the course of, you know, crafting and building and whatnot, he finds a dismantled portal of some
nether
sort.
Portal.
Another portal that he then repairs and then uses.
Flint and steel.
Yeah, I'm just giving you guys and he uses the flint and steel, and then ultimately opens this nether portal that allows him to travel to
the nether,
where he then meets Malgosha. Malgosha is the name of the bad guy in Spawn, I believe. Isn't it?
It's been too long for me to really verify that.
Malgosha.
I just remember Keith David was absolutely stunning in that role.
Well, it's Keith David.
Isn't it? Yeah, Malgosha.
Malgosha.
So Malgosha is there with her piglins.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she ultimately finds that Steve has something she wants. Steve sends it off with his pup, Dennis, and Dennis takes it to the real world, who then goes missing for God knows how long. We then come to Henry and Natalie, who show up in this town, parentless, Disney style, and try to fit in. Henry finds Garrett, who runs a broken down shop, just an electronic shop, not even a gaming shop.
Well, it's more of a game.
It's like a mix of games and electronics. It's like if you got a thrift store but made it for
an electronic shop.
Yeah.
Which is what I said. Garrett owns this. He is a former world champion of some game from 1989. I don't remember what the name of the game was.
It was something with a ridiculous...
It was some kind of two-player game that he could play by himself. And he rides the coattails of that for God knows how long. Ultimately, they end up stumbling back into the overworld because of Henry finding the cube. And what?
Well, so they stumble into the overworld because Garrett decides to bid on a...
He ends up in possession of the Orb of Dominance and the Earth Crystal through a auction at a storage unit. Finds it, doesn't see any use for it. Henry finds it, opens up the portal, and they have to go find it. Ensues like Natalie and Don, who Don is the real estate agent of the town, as well as the mobile zoo person, whatever. Yeah. And then chaos ensues, ultimately. Like, that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
I really don't think there's much else to the movie than just what I just said.
It's practically that. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you did miss the great cameos by a couple of Minecraft YouTubers at the auction.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Asus.
So, like, that's actually kind of, like, probably my favorite part in the movie.
No, go ahead.
Was he, like, so, just a little puzzle to the auction. And there's a variety. Let's see. I know Dan TDM was there in his cowboy hat. Mumbo Jumbo was there in the corner. Afmal was there, I believe. Like two others whose names I can't remember. But yeah, just want to give highlights to those. Those are great YouTubers. And I was very excited to see their, yeah.
Very cool. I didn't even realize it. It was such an interesting scene. So the interesting scene aside, obviously this movie is geared for fans of Minecraft, people who are absolutely, as Jesus is, enamored with the lore as well as the history of people who have played the game. In fact, there is an opportunity where the film does actually acknowledge a previous streamer who used to stream Minecraft, known as Technoblade, who passed away a few years ago due to cancer, where his avatar was given honor to by a pig walking by with a crown.
And Steve saying, when Steve being asked by Henry, who's that? And he said, a legend.
No, he says, is that a king? He goes, no, it's a legend. He's a legend.
And as a person who was a watcher of Technoblade and knows about his impact on the Minecraft community, not only from the Potato War that lasted a year between him and Squid Kid, where it was basically, originally, the whole purpose of it was Techno just wanted to upgrade his armor in Hypixel, in a Hypixel server. And basically, he went from that to wanting to upgrade his armor to wanting to have the number one spot as potato farmer. So him and this kid went for it, like, back and forth for a year, and Techno ultimately won with 500 potatoes farmed. And so he's known for that entirely, and then he's known for other things. And I'm glad that they were able to give him, like, an homage in here and honor that he has had a huge, huge impact on the Minecraft community.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Did you catch that, Spencer?
Yeah.
The Technoblade reference?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah. Why did I know this beforehand? I knew beforehand, before I saw the movie.
The reason why I ask you is because you're not on social media, so you don't watch things that pop up. So I'm just assuming that if you know it, it's because you actually know it and not because you gathered it from, like, your feed on Instagram or something.
I don't know how I came across this information, but I came across the information about the pig before I saw the movie.
Okay, very cool, very cool. I mean, outside of that, like, again, this movie is outside of the homages, outside of the references to or the actual appearances of YouTubers, outside of even the ridiculous, like, subplot of a villager escaping and getting hit by Jennifer Coolidge's car and then falling in love and then learning how to speak English. Outside of all that, like, there's not really much else to the movie. Like, Jack Black is the most Jack Blackest he can be. Jason Momoa is very interesting. I don't even know how to describe him. Like, he's like the most G-rated version of Lobo with
that's
pigmentation.
Gonna be amazing if he just pulls this character out for Lobo.
I feel like there's more extreme. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot there that he's building off of. And then three other people who are just there ultimately.
For story wise, they were like, you can tell that the script for this has gone through the ringer, and like they want, like, it seemed like they wanted to do more for Henry and Natalie. It's Natalie, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But, like, because we had that moment between Natalie and the other female lead.
Dawn,
thank you. Where Natalie's like, I don't know if I'm a good big sister. And it's them talking in the Mushroom House. And you could tell that there was, like, originally they might have been like supposed to be the focus, but it kind of it's really hollow and kind of just they rushed it on the on like it it's so weird because it's you see that Natalie's like I'm the older sister, but I also have to take care of him, and like you can see the rushed like. Not expecting that both their parents were gone. I'm kind of just, I'm going.
Well, cause yeah, you're right. Cause like there was like an emphasis on trying to play, you know, play up the whole, you know, her being responsible now and kind of being forced to be the adult now and stuff like that. And mind you, there's a hint of it there, but it is completely washed out by, let's be honest, the bombastic nature and performances of Jack Black and Jason Momoa, which is not their fault. It's just the fact that that's how they wrote it, that's how they edited it, and that's how it came out. Because in all honesty, like if you were to just watch the movie once and not hear anything of what we're saying, you probably wouldn't even recognize that like Natalie and Don have that heart-to-heart conversation and that it could have gone somewhere. So I do believe like the script went through so many revisions and whatnot. But I kind of want to touch on like where it is that like people like Jesus, where did you find your most enjoyment in this movie?
I think kind of, again, you know, I like movies.
Because I'm going to say this right now. You're probably going to be one of the few people at this table who are going to have anything to say on this particular subject. So, because Spencer's just itching to speak on it as well. I can see it in his eyes. That's sarcasm, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, just saying.
No, but I like movies that are bad. And I think like that,
you're not helping the argument.
Okay, I love the movie. The movie was terrible. Like there were so many like plot, not really plot holes, but like the plot was everywhere. And also, it kind of felt like, again, with that, like each character had like their own focus. Because again, with Garrett, him in his shop and being broke and like losing his shop, mm-hmm. Henry having his Disney troubles, and Natalie. You know, trying to figure out like how to balance being a big sister and an adult at the same time. So it kind of felt like everybody had a focus. So it was really hard to tell who the story was centered around.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
What did you find enjoyable about the movie?
Oh, probably the comedy. And I think just the subtle references. Because like, it really kind of brought you back to that nostalgia. But I think the movie wasn't targeted for a specific audience.
Mm-hmm.
It was out there, if I may, one thing I was thinking about talking about was reviews between the critics and the audience. Because if you look at the reviews, like the tomato meter has like a 56, I think, but the popcorn meter has like a 97.
And the audience versus the critics.
Yes, audience versus critics. And so that actually goes back a long way, like with the Super Mario Bros. Movie with Chris Pratt as Mario. Again, it had a really big difference. It got like a 50 for the critics, but like a 90 for the audience. And it's kind of like who it's targeted for, because that movie was meant to be for kids. It wasn't like for the critics to go and enjoy and for them to be some deep moral story. It was for kids and adults alike who, you know, just enjoy Mario and wanted to see that. And so I think it was just like kind of like the really blatant comedy and the poor attempt at a story plot that kind of made it good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just targeted for people to enjoy. It was just supposed to be a comedic relief movie. And again, with Jared Hess as the director and him directing Nacho Libre and Napoleon Dynamite, those movies were just, they were just like kind of there, like just great comedic relief movies, but no real like story or plot.
I mean, I think Napoleon Dynamite has a certain drive to it. I mean, ultimately the push is so that Napoleon Dynamite, I mean, it's in the framework, if you look at it in the mindset of like a Seinfeld episode where it feels like nothing is happening, but everything is happening because nothing is happening. If that makes any sense.
It does.
Like that's the nature of kind of how I feel Napoleon Dynamite works. Nacho Libre has a focus because it's like, oh, he's becoming a wrestler. Even Gentleman Broncos has a focus.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie went everywhere and nowhere at the same time. There is a level of so bad that it could be good, but it's just like, it's hard to look at a movie like this and say, oh, this was so bad it was good, but it had really, you know, all over the place kind of moments And most of those moments, I don't know if they hit or not because I was still focused on this over there. Like the audience for this movie, I felt they didn't really know who they were trying to hit. Because if you were like the homage to Technoblade, fans who were watching Technoblade and watching his streams, they got the reference. But younger people probably wouldn't because they probably didn't watch him.
Or older people.
Or older people, sorry. Older people yeah. didn't watch him. But at the same time, people who were a part of Minecraft since its inception back in 2009, who have been fans, who have been playing it, you know, and even the people who do like the their own forms of lore within the world.
The SMPs.
Yeah. Like those types of things, like people have been fans of those. Not a lot of younger people are going to get those because those are a little older, you know, and it's like the audience is skewed. And so it doesn't necessarily target a specific framework outside of just, if you like Minecraft, come and see us.
It's the stark difference between the Minecraft movie and the FNAF movie, because the FNAF movie knew who their audience was and still was able to form a story mm-hmm. around it. And not completely pander to the fans, but give you a movie that, okay, if you don't know a lot about it, you'll get a somewhat good introduction mm-hmm. to the world of FNAF. And it didn't rush the entire story. It hit good beats for the story.
Yeah.
But for Minecraft, the ultimate end goal, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, the ultimate end goal is to get to the end to defeat the Ender Dragon. And so it's both a smart and a wise decision that they didn't have the Ender Dragon be the main like villain of this movie. But the other thing is that there, in my opinion, there's not really any room for them to go back and go have that ending of defeating the Ender Dragon and getting that beautiful poem that you get in the credits for Minecraft.
If I may, again, yes, while that is the end, no pun intended. There isn't an absolute end to Minecraft. Yes, you beat it. Correct. And you get that amazing poem that some people choose not to read, but if you do, it's beautiful.
Tattoos are of it.
It is 10 minutes or so. Take your time with that. Okay. It is like, without there being an absolute end to Minecraft, sorry, where was I going with this? Because you're talking about like, they're not going to be able to come back to the movie in like.
They're not able to come back to the, it didn't seem like they were able to come back to the overworld. Like, because Steve looked at back at the people, he's like, no, I'm going back to the real world.
Oh, okay. With that, I think it's because in the end they took the orb with them and like separated it. Or I could be wrong.
I only saw the movie once, so I can't really give you like a definite. But yeah.
But I think, okay, sketching away from that, back to like the audience thing, I think there was a target audience, and it wasn't for kids or Minecraft goers or just, I think it was more for people who kind of grew up with Minecraft-ish. And like, again, with like those Technoblade references and those YouTube references and stuff. Like, I guess people won't get that, like the younger audience and the older audience, but it's for those kids who like kind of grew up with Minecraft. And instead of, I think, being like a movie with a direct plot, it was more like a nostalgia fest. Like, I saw this post on social media where like they were talking like the movie was terrible, but it was a 10 out of 10 movie experience for them because like it was just a nostalgia thing. Like, growing up with Minecraft and you see all like these video game movies and then like on YouTube and stuff, everybody always wanted there to be a Minecraft movie. Same with a FNAF movie. And so again, like when the FNAF movie came out, a ton of people were happy just because it was a nostalgia fest because, you know, you got what you wanted when you were a kid. And so I think the same thing here. Like the audience was just for people who grew up with Minecraft. And so while not direct, it's just, you know, for those who like wanted the nostalgia and the experience.
The nostalgia of when you first, like, and that was what was perfect about the opening before the movie even started of Mojang having that, no, it's the actual start. Mojang with having their loading screen and Jack Black narrating. That was a good, like, one, just noting, starting up Minecraft and going there. Also, I'll leave that for my highlight at the end. But yes, I fully agree. That's a nostalgia fest. But the one thing is for the Minecraft YouTubers, like cameos in there, they were like a good highlight in the movie. But for me personally, completely different from you, it didn't really carry that same type of me first opening Minecraft. The only part I got for that was like the loading screen and then like the building.
And I get that. Again, for me personally, I did watch Dan Tedium growing up a lot. Along with Mumbo Jumbo, because his creations were just insane and funny. But I think just like, I think you're right. It does kind of pander to that Minecraft community in a way. But it's like, for those who grew up with Minecraft, like the target audience wasn't for kids like under the age of 10. It was like, honestly, it was kind of targeted towards
everyone.
Everyone, yeah. I think also kind of specifically like towards teens-ish. Like, again, those who grew up with the Minecraft movie, because again, there's a ton of teens in the movie theater, you know, opposed to those who are lashing out, actual fans, you know, would have respected the movie. But I think it's just kind of like for fans in particular of Minecraft and like who grew up with it and even who had like some sort of relation to those YouTubers and what have you. So I think that's kind of like, again, if we go back to the question you asked me a while ago about like what I found enjoyable, it was like all the nostalgia and just like being able to see that kind of a movie.
All right. Well, I guess wrapping this whole thing up, let's talk about just real quick, if there were any other highlights or, you know, issues that you guys had with the movie, just real quick, we'll run through that. Start with Spence.
Okay, this falls under both because I don't really know what to put this as. But just the whole Jennifer Coolidge, like, subplot line is both a highlight and an issue. It's an issue because it's like this thing that's way over there. It's also kind of a highlight because it's insane.
Yeah.
Because, like, her hitting someone with her car and then it's, like, asking someone out on a date. I'm like, this is a completely different movie that's happening right here, and I don't know why it's happening. It's quirky and weird, and I kind of would like to see it.
Yeah.
But there's not enough time to really expand upon it here.
You know, you're absolutely 100% right. I feel the exact same way. I'm like, this feels like it should have been like a digital, like, exclusive or movie or like a digital short.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was released at the same time as the movie. Like, you saw Jennifer Coolidge as she was the principal at one point, and then you don't really see her much at all through the rest of the film. And then you get this digital short that's available either as like a bonus on the movie. And it's like, oh, she hit a villager that had escaped that we saw earlier. Oh, they go on a date. Oh, they're actually whatever. Oh, it took place during the entire time that they were going through the whole thing in the overworld. You mean, oh, and it's actually Matt Berry. That would have been a fun little Easter egg. I would have enjoyed that. So
they don't do Easter eggs like that anymore.
No, they don't. But I again, not to piggyback on yours, but I'm going to piggyback on yours. And, you know, that is actually my biggest issue. It's not even it wasn't even an enjoyable thing to the point to where it took away from my confusion already with everything else going on in the movie, where I actually, I'm not a big fan of Jennifer Coolidge, but I can get her humor and see like it was going in that direction. It fit more in the Napoleon Dynamite universe than you think. Yeah. And I loved it for that. It just fit in the whole Jared Hess, like, just overall cinematic universe. The awkwardness and everything, like, it just all worked. It just didn't work in this movie.
Right. So, last thing I want to bring up. This one is a negative. It is the mushroom house that they built in the forest. Very specifically the design of this house. Because, like, at first I'm like, oh, they built... I'm like, what is all that stuff on the wall? Like, it's just a whole bunch of paste they smeared on the wall. And I'm like, that's going to be annoying to clean up in this red room you've built. And I was just like, this doesn't fit with what they're doing. And this feels almost like a reshoot that just had to take place.
And they're also trying to pander to the whole trend of when you were playing, like, back in 2020, the specific people who make everything out of, like, mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
They're specifically pandering to those people who are like, I built everything on mushrooms for the aesthetic.
Sarah, any highlight or issue?
I'm going to start with my issue first. The use of Chungus. The use of Chungus and the Screaming Goat meme continuation. Like, when a meme has slowly died out, please listen to the people. And, like, yes, screaming goats are occasionally funny, but if we're getting back-to-back screaming goats, no. And for me, it was just, maybe it's just a personal preference. The use of Chungus so much, from Chunglass being the town that they moved into, to the general for Miss Malgosha being Chungus, and then, like, it was a little just for me being like, I see what you're doing, but... My highlight was basically just Matt Berry being a voice and the creativity that Jack Black as Steve brought. That was my positives. And the Technoblade cameo.
Jesus.
I will start with an issue. It's kind of like a plot issue.
Oh, he has an issue.
I do have an issue with this movie. It actually, it just hit me.
Oh, okay.
It's a plot issue. So like in the middle of the movie, we see the use of the elytra. And this hit me when we're talking about the end. So the plot, the issue that Steve has is he gets stuck in the Nether with no way to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like a little in-game context, the only way to get the elytra is to go to the end, beat the Ender Dragon, take a portal to the end city, and then get it from there. And the only way to get to the end is by making Eyes of Ender, which you need Blaze Powder for. And so, like, plot-wise, Steve gets stuck in the Nether and only gets let out when they get into the overworld. So Steve has no direct way of getting an elytra. And again, with, like, not even, like, a single mention of the Ender Dragon in the movie or an end city. So that's just kind of, like, the plot issue I have now. Is that
it would have been a good end credit, like, little, you know, piece to mention or even talk about the Ender Dragon.
Ender Dragon. And, I mean, like, plot-wise, you could make it work if, like, when we saw Steve get trapped in the Nether, it wasn't his first time in the Nether. But, like, it's highly pushed. Like, we're to infer that that's his first time in the Nether.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just, like, that's kind of, like, the plot issue I have.
Mm. Any highlights that you want to mention? Or?
I kind of went over my highlights, again, with the cameos from the YouTubers and what have you.
There you go.
Also, Dennis the dog. I just love the dog. The dog as a character was great. I loved him.
There you go. The CG dog that was in this movie that had no vocal lines. It was great. Got it. Well, wrapping this whole thing up, let's go ahead and go around the table. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Jesus. You should be because you listen. But we do give a grading scale for the film, whether if it passes or fails as a whole as a movie, and how many monocles it gets. Let's go ahead and start with Spencer.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like this movie does technically pass. It does. I mean, it's just, it's unfocused. Like, it's like, oh, this happens, and then I forgot. But then this other stuff happens. So, like, you know, it's barely a pass. Like, I feel like there still needs to be some balancing issues in the story that needs to be worked out. But overall, yeah, this movie, it's a video game adaptation, and it's weird to say it does do better than most of them, but that doesn't mean it's great. Like, if we want to come back here, which we're already setting up to, I just would like the story to be a lot more focused on what the story is, since we're clearly bringing in Alex. What are we doing? What are we doing? That's what I wanted for Minecraft 2. We have an idea of what we're doing. We're not going to have a whole bunch of people and then send a lot of them away. Just focus in on, like, what this story is about. That's for rating. Wow, that's really tough. I'm gonna do two.
Because, 2 out of 5?
Yeah, 2 out of 5. Like, it's not the worst adaptation for a video game movie. They have earned the right to say that.
Wow.
But that's not saying much.
That is, yeah, true. Sarah.
This movie passes for me. Like, I enjoyed it, but wasn't the best. I'll give it 3 monocles out of 5. That's a lot. Just for overall, for fandom, it's okay. A fandom and just any movie in general, if you're going to go see it in the theater, it's okay to have fun, but please be mindful of others. Like, put yourself in their shoes. If you're watching a movie and you've paid and, like, it's been a long day for you and you're just here to watch a movie, be mindful. Think about it. If there was someone behind you screaming at the top of their lungs, chicken jockey, and they throw popcorn and it gets all over you, and you have, like, an interview, or you have to show up on a date after this, the absolute just story that you're like, I don't have enough time to go home, and you come to your date or you come to your interview covered in popcorn butter, and you're just like, I just went to go see a movie, boss. I'm so sorry.
They're like, what happened to you? And you're like, chicken jockey.
Chicken jockey.
I'm sorry, but if you have a date and you choose to pregame your date with a Minecraft movie, I don't know if you deserve that
I was also clocking that. I was like,
That is a very good point. I have to give it to the intern. That is a very good point.
Like, if you're going to go on a date and you decide to get yourself ready for a date by watching a Minecraft movie, you get what you get.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, okay, so three monocles out of five.
Yeah, three monocles out of five.
Jesus.
If it wasn't obvious, this movie is a pass for me. I really did enjoy this movie. It was great. However, I think, like, to rate it, I might honestly give it like a 3 or a 2 at its lowest. Like, the movie, I loved it. But just because it was like kind of like corny and just poorly made comedy, but like to rate the movie, it wasn't a great movie. I just enjoyed it. It was
so what are you landing on as far as monocles?
I think I'm gonna give it the benefit of the doubt and go with 3.
Three monocles. Okay. As far as pass or fail for me, it barely passes. It is like literally, it is one of those like, it was a 69.9% and I just, for the grace of God, had the mercy to give it that 0.1% and give it that pass. It's not by much. This movie is absolutely a cluster. It is all over the place. However, the fact that you have to look at it through the lens of how you would look at any other mindless movie pertaining to like the elements are just all over the place, like a Fast and the Furious movie, essentially. That's how you have to look at this. It's one of those ones where you turn off your brain and there's not a lot of thought. However, it still expects you to think at times because it wants you to recognize this homage or whatever the heck you were talking about the beginning of the movie with the Lytra or whatever.
Oh, that was in the middle.
Whatever. Like, that took a lot of brain power. We're like, at this point in the episode, I'm like, nope, my brain is totally gone. It's like there's so much that could be done with this particular franchise, and there's so much that they could have expounded upon as far as giving lore and building lore and making Steve more than just this guy who wanders into the world and actually have meaningful characters that have impact in the overall universe. Even recognizing the fullness of how simplistic this journey is for people who play this game. Even
Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty enjoys Minecraft.
That doesn't say much. so the fact is, it's like the absolute truth. I wanted to like this movie. I actually did. I came in and I'm like, you know what? This movie is another step towards creating consistent video game movies. We got the Legend of Zelda movie somewhere on the horizon. We got, you know, the series that was on Amazon about the video game short movies, the movies.
Secret Level.
Yeah, Secret Level. That was actually, I heard a lot of great things about, you know, and then everything that people are doing nowadays to kind of bolster that. We're in an era where like video game movies are becoming more and more common to pitch as movie ideas because we have the technology, we have the ability. With that said, we have to take advantage of the people who actually control the destinies for these games and can give input or tap into the community who can help build that story. The fact that this story doesn't really have a lot of legs because it's just an homage here and an homage there and a reference there and a reference here and a toxic fandom there. And, you know, some kids who moved to Chungusville or whatever it's called over there. And this one woman who's a real estate agent who has a mobile zoo and a killer llama. Like, and then you have Jason Momoa and Jack Black. They're not even the characters. They're literally just them in the movie. Like, there needs to be a tightening of the ship for this second film. I don't care how many stands of Minecraft, how many crazy folks be yelling in theaters. I don't care about any of that. If this movie is successful based solely on just those people alone, their intelligence level dictates pretty much how much they'll be still paying attention to this platform.
Mama money.
And over time, they will lose interest or move on to the next big thing.
Or they'll milk it dry so that there's no possibility for an actual fully fleshed out story and care. Because the fans of video games put in care for wanting proper representation and justice. Like, we saw it for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie,
mm-hmm.
and they listened and they took care of each of the characters, and they did it. Like, Mr. Spencer, would you say that they did Sonic justice?
Yeah, like, surprisingly so. I was still shocked. It's 3 movies later.
So with all that said, like, I want to make sure that we understand that the nature of this film, I get it. I get the fandom. I get the people who want to see it for what it means for them. in the levels of wherever they are with their fandom. However, at the same time, don't forget etiquette. Don't forget just regular decorum. And ultimately, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 just because that is with the hope and the prayer that next one will be better than this one. So, but that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Filmlosophers. Remember, you could check us out over at our website at filmlosophers.podcast.com. Sorry, filmlosopherspodcast.com. There we got allegedly over 300 episodes, everything from action, anime, comedy, suspense, movies about video games. If you're looking for it, we got it. Head on over to our website at filmlosopherspodcast.com. I want to thank Jesus for being a part of this episode. Thank you for showing up.
Thank you for having me, Jesus.
And is there any movie on the horizon that you're excited to watch?
Actually, no, I haven't really been looking to any new releases, but I'll let you know if I find any.
Oh, okay. The intern's going to let us know. again, we're growing slowly but surely, but you know what? We're happy to have them on the show. So you can also check us out over wherever podcasts are streaming, and that's iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audioboom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeart, Amazon Music. You can tune into Our Heart's Desire on any one of those platforms. Look for us there at The Film Losphers. Give us a like or a follow or a subscribe and listen in. Tell us what you think. Did you see the Minecraft film? What did you feel about the movie? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Let us know in the towel section down below. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review. We've earned it.
Yes, we have.
You can also, yes, we have. You can also find us on the socials at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at filmlosophy101, as well as Blue Sky at Filmlosophers Podcast. Over at Instagram, we also do all of our extra content, such as Spencer's Big Score, which we need to do. I almost said Big Scare. Spencer's Big Score, as well as Amy's Jane on Scene, which can be found only on Instagram and Instagram only at Jane on Scene. We are actually in the process of starting to move some content over to her page so that we can get her more traction. So if you're wondering where her content is, it's not us, it's her. So again, thank you for listening. And again, thank you for Jesus for joining the show. Intern Sarah, thank you for coming back. Yay. So this was a great episode, and hopefully we'll catch you next time. So from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm Intern Sarah.
And I'm Intern Jesus.
That was a little interesting.
I didn't know which way we were going.
It's fine.
We're working on it. There you go. From all of us here, class dismissed.
All right.
You look so ready that he doesn't even talk.
Yeah. I'm nervous.
Yeah,
you're nervous?
You look nervous.
Thank you.
It's going to be fine. He's talking to, what are we doing?
And look at this. If you fail this one time, it'll just be one time on the internet. So here we go. 3, 2, and...